God has many lessons for the people of God to learn from Old Testament scriptures, and certainly a great deal from the life of an Old Testament king named David. The reason I know this is because David is called a man after God's own heart. Now, that doesn't mean that God approved of what David did. In many cases, the record shows that God disapproved severely. But his heart was like the heart of God, for David was a kind man. There are many lessons to be learned in the study of the life of David. His early years, beginning even farther back with his ancestries, we find that he was a descendant of Abraham, and of course of Israel, particularly of the tribe of Judah. And the prophecy said that out of the tribe of Judah would come a ruler. Now, many of the things that are said about David in the Old Testament, the prophets tell us, are really intended for David's son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our New Testament begins the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Because he's the son of David, he has a right to the throne, to be the future king. And so, this man is an interesting man to study. Now, his early years were filled with the right kind of training to make him a good leader of God's people. He was a shepherd. He was taken from following the ewes, great with lambs. He was a man who carried the lambs in his arms. He was a man who protected the sheep, even at great risk to his own life, killing a lion on one occasion, on another occasion, a bear. This was good training for a man who was going to shepherd God's sheep. I'm sure that must have been during his training period, during his time as a young man, that he wrote the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. David really knew the Lord. David learned the Lord in a special way, according to the 32nd Psalm, in the forgiveness of his sins. He said, blessed or happy is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression is covered. Have you had a background like this? Has the Lord met you and taught you that he wants to be your shepherd, the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep? And have you received word from God that your sins are forgiven? That's how David knew it. The Lord sent word by Nathan the prophet, thy sin is forgiven thee. Now the Lord doesn't send a man to us today to tell us that, for he's told us in his word. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. God had his eye on David, and he has his eye on you too. I trust that he'll bring you to himself. Or if you are his child, I hope that you'll be willing and listening for any call to service. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, we read about Samuel being sent to the home of this boy, for he was just a boy then. The Lord said, one of Jesse's sons will be the new king. And of course, they brought in the oldest son. When Samuel looked on Eliab, he said, this must be he. The Lord said, no, don't look on the outward appearance. That's where man looks. The Lord looketh on the heart. One after another, these seven sons passed before Samuel. And the Lord said, I've not chosen these. So then they asked if there were another, and Jesse said, yes, there was the youngest out taking care of the sheep. Well, he said, bring him. And this was the one. The Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Now, this was a kind of an unlikely thing. He was poor, he was the youngest, but his call was very definite. And immediately Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So here you have the proof of his reality. Now in the New Testament, we're told that when we receive Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit of God comes to indwell us, and he is present not only to show that we are the children of God, but he is present to guide us and to make us fruitful and make us useful. Well, right away, David found some usefulness. He didn't get to be king that day. He was only 17. In fact, it was some years after this before he actually became king. And then he became king over just a part of the people of God for the first seven and a half years. But the Lord did give him something to do right away. Now, I believe that it's wrong to put unsaved people to work in the church. I don't believe that if you have never received Christ as your Savior, that you can give anything to God. I don't believe that you can please God. For Romans 8 says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But when you do receive Christ as your Savior, I believe that the Lord has a job for you, and you ought to be looking for that job. So from this section, I learn that we ought to heed God's call to salvation, and then we ought to heed God's call to service. Now, in the 17th chapter, you have the record of some of the victories of David. We're all familiar with the story of his victory over Goliath of Gath, the giant Philistine. But in this same chapter, we find that he won a victory over his own desire to retaliate. Instead of fighting back when his brothers criticized him, he just left it in the hands of the Lord. And then he was invited by Saul to put on his armor, but he rejected that temptation too. Someone has said that the victory over Goliath is a picture of victory over Satan, while the victory over this temptation to retaliate is a victory over the flesh. And his refusing to take on Saul's armor to be like the men of the world is a victory over the world. Well, we do know that our Lord Jesus Christ won the great victory for us. For David, as I said, is a type of Christ. He is a picture of Christ. And never more so than in his victory over this giant. The enemy of the people of God was this Goliath of Gath, and they were not strong enough for him. But David went down into the valley and won the victory. And our Savior went down into the valley at Calvary and won the victory over Satan and liberated us from his power. You know, when Jonathan saw this, his heart was so warmed and drawn out to David that it says he loved David as his own soul. And he did this because he saw the victory that David had won for him. Jonathan should have done this himself. He was the crown prince, but he couldn't do it. And he loved David for doing this for him. Do you love the Lord Jesus for what he's done for us? Well, if you do, I'm sure then that you'll want to follow him and you'll learn about victory in your own life too. Now, the life of David is accurate, and God records his testings and his failures, his sins, as well as his usefulness. David went through a great deal of trial and the long delay before he finally was made king, and he had several narrow escapes. Some of the people loved him, but most of them hated him. Saul especially tried to kill him. And by the time we get over to 1 Samuel chapter 27 and verse 1, we find that he had lost his courage. And how many of us who just don't see things accomplished we'd like to see, we get discouraged. We feel like quitting. But it was very shortly after this that the Lord took Saul out of the way and David became king. And I'm sure that he regretted that after living all those years in dependence on God, then he lost his confidence in the Lord for a while. Well, the Lord restored him, even later on when he sinned in that great sin, taking the wife of Uriah and causing Uriah's death. The Lord even forgave that and brought him back to himself. And if I'm talking to some Christian who is away from the Lord, the way back is the way of confession. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Never too late to turn back to Him, brother and sister. If your life isn't what it ought to be, turn to Him just now. Tell Him exactly what you've done. And expect and believe that He will restore you and still use you, as He did David after that terrible sin. The history of David is a history of great accomplishments, not only winning this first victory, but he was a man of war who was used of God to deliver Israel time after time and to unite the people together. And then he got them interested in the temple. And he himself did a great deal in preparing for the building of the temple. He got together materials, especially gold, in great abundance against the time when God would use his son, Solomon, to build that temple for the Lord. Now, we're not asked to build a fancy building for the Lord today, but if we have trusted Christ as our Savior, then we ought to be of some use to Him in building the true temple, the church, which is His body. And by the way, let's find out His plan for it and not just adopt the plan of some denomination. David was used of God to write the wonderful Psalms, too. And we'll always be thankful that God has given us the Psalms, most of them, through the pen of His servant David. He seemed to understand just how we feel, didn't he? You may have your favorite Psalm, but all of the Psalms will be helpful to God's people who are willing to turn to them. What lessons can we get from the life of David? Well, certainly that God loves sinners, that He cleanses us, and that He uses us, if we'll but put ourselves into His hands. Father, we ask You to bless these thoughts to us. Save those who are not yet saved, and encourage and help Thy children to go on for Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.